In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence, always remembering life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before, and now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. This is a really exciting show today, because we're doing the video of this show and the recording live from Scottsdale, Arizona, where our guest tonight lives, although he travels all over the world for the work that he does. He is John Michael Capaldi, and he's a psychic, but he's not your ordinary psychic, so I can't wait to bring him on to talk about him. So I'm actually going to be really brief. You know, two, three weeks ago, I walked into a big department store that's very well known throughout the country and the world even. And I was going to buy just something. I don't remember what I needed that I had to have, literally had to have. It's like something that I needed. And I walked in the store and it was full of Christmas decorations. This was like 3 weeks ago. It was even before Halloween. The store was chock full of Christmas decorations and everybody was in the, at least the people in the store, or at least they were acting, quote unquote, holiday mood and holiday spirit. Luckily, nobody wished me a season's greeting or a happy holiday, because I don't know what I would have done, because it was so distracting to what I needed to do. And I have to tell you, for a moment, it confused me. I thought Halloween had passed and Thanksgiving had passed, and it was the Christmas already. Or Hanukkah, or whatever you want. I mean, it was confusing to my senses. And I started to think, well, why would a store like this do something like this? Well, I didn't have to think too hard. Of course, they're trying to get everybody in the mood to buy things. And I thought, that might be good to the store and good for the store and maybe some of the employees. But is that really good for us? Is that good for our psyche? Is that good for humanity? Is that good for the planet? I started to think where this tradition came from. And I wanted to blame it on somebody, but it actually came from like Roman times, or at least as far back as Roman times, people were giving gifts around this season. So even before Jesus and Christmas, they were giving gifts around the season. But the gifts that they were giving were handmade things. Now, one can argue that, you know, they didn't have a Bloomingdale's or a Macy's, so they couldn't go buy it. But that's not true. They had marketplaces. But the gifts were things that were made. As a matter of fact, the tradition grew even more with the Victorians, who started giving gifts around this time, even in a big way. But the gifts, a bigger way than the Romans did, but the gifts were associated with a meaning, with a story, something for somebody's baby that they were going to have. And so it was something that was made at home by somebody's hands. And again, during that time, there were stores. They could have gone to the stores to buy these things. But that was not considered a proper gift during this time. You know, it's interesting that I kind of even wanted to blame the churches, but the church didn't even like the tradition. The church thought, oh, that's too distracting to the people. Let's not have this tradition. And actually tried to outlaw it. We're talking about the Catholic Church. Tried to outlaw giving gifts around this time. And then the church said, well, since the people are still doing it and we can't stop them, let's make it some religious thing. Well, let's see. Ha, the gifts of the Magi. The wise men came and they gave gifts. So it's okay to give gifts during this season because the Magi brought gifts. Or Jesus was a gift to the world, so from God. So this is a tradition that we can give gifts. But then the tradition grew from there to the point where people like you and I are going crazy buying gifts that mean absolutely, usually nothing, that usually, mostly, get thrown away, along with the paper and the ribbons and the cards. and the time and the gas and the time away from work or the time away from our family. Every family tradition, every family holiday, there are people that are stressed out. Their cards are stressed out, their credit cards, their pocketbooks are stressed out, and they're stressed out wondering if somebody's going to like the gift that they got them, that they traveled all around town to get, or they had to order from someplace and were stressed out, didn't know if it was going to come. And then these things get thrown away. And what does that do for our planet? What does that do for our psyche? And I kind of want to say, this season, before you buy something, just stop. Stop and think, and then listen. Think, maybe, do I need to be doing this? Is this the right thing for me to be doing? Does the person that I want to give this to, will they appreciate it? Do they really need this? Will it be something that actually serves them? And then, does the planet need this? Does civilization need this? Do I have to do this? And then, whatever answer you get, then that's what you need to do. And I'm not going to say, don't buy. But I'm just going to say that. Just stop. Just think of those things. And then listen to the answer. And maybe we might actually be able to have that peaceful holiday that everybody sings about or hears about, instead of contributing to the chaos, maybe we can find peace in only that simple gesture of stopping, thinking, and listening. So now I'm going to stop, and I'm going to remind you that you're listening and watching Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network, and we're here live in Scottsdale, Arizona, interviewing our guest at the moment, who is John Michael Capaldi. But you can watch this video, hear the archive show, and all the archive shows of all of our guests at www.lifechanges.ws. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and on YouTube. And I'm looking forward to moving quickly on to our next segment. Our guest is a celebrity psychic. Now, he's not just a psychic of celebrities. He's a celebrity himself. He's an author, an inspirational speaker, an intuitive, and that includes a medical intuitive and a physical intuitive, which is a word that he's coined, and I can't wait to talk about it. And he's also a tireless philanthropist. He is a seasoned host and a popular radio guest, and he's on our show tonight. Hollywood has already come knocking with an opportunity to feature him in his own TV series pitched as The Real Psychics. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him. As an intuitive, John Michael Capaldi helps people from all walks of life, but his list of clients reads more like a who's who of famous A-list celebrities, notable Fortune 500 business CEOs and officers, politicians, and celebrated athletes. He does help people find their soulmate and things of that nature, and help them make personal financial decisions and career decisions. But on the bulk, his current career is helping companies look at the bigger picture. That sets him apart from every other psychic that at least I know. He helps major corporations make big decisions about what markets to go into, what products to promote, and what paths to take. His no-nonsense, jargon-free approach has helped him bring his abilities into the corporate world, earning John Michael Capaldi respect from business power brokers, and earning him seats on many boards of many companies. So with that, I am happy and proud to welcome John Michael Capaldi to the show.
Thank you.
So, you look different than any other psychic that I've encountered. You're dressed in a three-piece suit, pretty much, with jeans. I mean, but you've got a vest on and a tie, and your hair is slick, and you know, you don't have the woo-woo trappings of a psychic. How do you explain yourself?
Because I'm a businessman. I'm an entrepreneur, and I want people to take me seriously. when I look at the business of psychics and I go to any New Age bookstore, any popular place, there's always a gypsy-like feel to the kind of people who hang out there. And it bothers me because we are not these people who live outside the mainstream. We are the mainstream. More people come to me on a day-to-day basis who'll just say that we're, you know, I do this for a living, but I've also had these visions all my life. And everyone has them. Everyone has these gifts. And this is not an unusual thing. We are spiritual beings living inside of physical bodies.
Well, it's not an unusual thing, and I'm glad to hear that, and we'll talk more about that. But it is unusual, at least for me and for us, to find out that you are being asked to come into corporations and talk about things that normally are kept very private in the boardroom.
Yes.
And they're not asking you, am I going to meet a tall, handsome man or a beautiful, skinny blonde? They're asking you about running the business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got into it accidentally about 20 years ago. I had a very high-profile client, and her husband was the CEO of a large Fortune 500 company. He was having a problem. They were arguing. I was outside, knew there was stuff going on. I didn't want anything to do with it. She was telling her husband, have John Michael come in. He can tell you what's going on. Well, he didn't want to say, tell him nothing. So a couple of days later, I walk into the business, and this very handsome young man, beautiful suit, walks me in, shows me around. He's a controller for the company and walks me to the CEO. But he showed me around the entire company because he has to spend a little extra time with me because the CEO has someone prior to me. I walk in. I say hello to my client's wife, my client's husband, and introduce myself. Oh, by the way, the gentleman who just walked me through, he's stealing from you.
No, just like that.
That simple. they said, well, how much do you think he's stealing? I said, well, the exact number I gave was $393,000, I think it was at that time. And they said, really? And it was the CEO and CFO were sitting in the office waiting for me. And they were going to berate me, make fun of me, basically. I don't know exactly what their plan was. They sat me down.
You stopped them in their tracks.
And they walked out the door. And I sat there for 3.5 hours till the police showed up outside and took this young man away. Well, I kept trying to leave. And then she said, no, no, the personal assistant, you need to stay here. That the gentleman wanted me to stay. So I just stayed. From then on, I'd been a personal guest of both those gentlemen and another gentleman who was the COO of the same corporation. Now, the CEO actually retired. The COO took his job for a while, then went to a different corporation, and the CFO went to a different corporation. I still work with the CFO of that corporation, who's now a CEO of another corporation, and the other gentleman is the CEO of another corporation
as well. When you say you've been their guest, they invite you into the boardroom during
meetings. Yes, what I do is I work with them personally for the businesses. They will send a limo or a car for me if it's a company that's in town. If it's a company out of town, they will either send me a plane ticket or they send a private jet. They'll pick me up and fly me to wherever I need to be. I sit on the board of directors, usually as a guest outside of the table itself.
Which is a coveted position because not many people can do that. They don't want that.
No, and most people don't know who I am. All they know is I'm the gentleman who sits behind Mr. So-and-so, take notes, and afterwards I sit with the other gentleman afterwards for another hour, 2 hours, and
you fit right in because you look like one of them, and you don't do an incantation or do a little dance or anything in there.
No. I have a crystal that a friend of mine gave me that I wear, but the crystal is completely jewelry. It's just fun. It has nothing to do with anything. It sits next to an Italian horn my grandmother gave me as a child.
Okay. Which doesn't mean anything to you either, except the fact that your grandmother gave it.
Yes, exactly. So the thing is when you think about the whole thing with the psychic, all the fun paraphernalia, let's go with that word, that they collect. Now, I have friends who are psychics who have just tables covered in crystals.
Me too.
And they have lots of fun items. Now, I do collect religious objects from all over the world, but I believe in all the religions. I think they're all beautiful. They're all right. And I'll buy a statue of Buddha, or I'll buy it. I love the stories that go with them, and to me it all means something. I like the ideas of what they teach, and that it has nothing to do with any power or any – I just like the art.
Hmm.
To me, I think about what humans are and what's the story that taught. It's all mythology to me.
Actually, I know there's something that you really don't want to delve into too much, and I can understand, having had a similar background, at least as a child. But talking about religions, you not only grew up with the Catholic faith, but you took it a step further. You went to the seminary.
Yes, I did.
For a long time.
Well, this is what happened. When I was a kid, and I'd have visions, my mother taught me that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which there's seven gifts, were the gifts that I had, and I was experiencing. And
so your mother encouraged you.
Since the age of three to be psychic. She knew what my gifts were, and she taught me how to just be a part of it and embrace it and not be afraid of what I saw. She'd read books from Edgar Cayce. She would teach me the latest techniques. There was a class at UCLA in the late 60s, early 70s that she would go to about ESP, and she would come back and teach me what she learned.
Wow.
So I would know how to use my gifts.
Now, then you went to study at the seminary.
Well, I felt that maybe with all my gifts that I thought I was supposed to be a saint or something. You know, here I was.
No, not a priest, not a brother, not a Monsignor. A saint.
Saint. Well, okay. You know.
Well, I thought I was supposed to be Pope, so.
All right, there we go. Well, there we go. What happened to me was, I would have these visions. I would go in and see angels show up during Mass. Mm. And I'd see different things happen at church and at different religious events. And recently, my baby cousin got married to her longtime boyfriend. And I cried the whole time. And standing next to me was her aunt, who had passed away many years ago.
Mm.
And she kept crying. It made me cry even more. Her mother didn't cry as much as I did.
Well, she didn't see the aunt.
No. But see, I have these visions while I'm standing there and I'm experiencing religious experiences. So I thought, well, I'd read this little book called, it was the Picture Book of the Saints as a child.
Mm.
And I would read these stories and go, oh, well, this is what I would do, or this is how I do this. And, well, okay, I guess I'm one of them. So the only thought I had was, well, maybe I'm supposed to be a priest so I could go be some saint and do some
saintly things.
Exactly.
You know, interestingly enough, perhaps you were right. If you had been born during that time, that's maybe what they would have called you, a saint. So that's really interesting. But you said that actually helped you in your psychic abilities, which is odd to me.
Well, it's the whole spiritual aspect. It made it not odd. It made it normal. Everything I did was just completely normal to me. I went like, oh, well, if I'm leaving my body and traveling to go visit my grandparents who were living in California, that's not bad. Go, you know, travel to Europe in the middle of the night in my dreams.
Because the saints were doing it.
Exactly.
But what would you talk to any of the priests or brothers? Or?
Well, there was some Jesuits that I would talk to, and one particular, his name was Mark Caligari.
And for those who don't know, the Jesuits are the highest order. And
well, one of the higher orders.
One of the higher orders, and also one of the ones that they study the Bible the most and the history of the church. So they're very knowledgeable people.
But they also study philosophy and theology, and they study metaphysics. They teach, and they're a teaching order, but they teach people how to think for themselves.
Mm.
And this priest told me, well, first of all, I said, study languages and go in the seminary. Become a Jesuit. And but they teach how to think for yourself. When you think for yourself, you can make your own decisions. And when you can make your own decisions, then you can use your gifts for your own betterment and for the betterment of mankind.
That's interesting, because I've never I never got that from the learnings that I, or the teachings that I had as a child from the church, but I have spoken to other Jesuits who do believe that. So I think that's something that's particular to that order, but that's interesting that the church actually unknowingly perhaps helped you with the gifts. Now you became a brother, but you did not become a priest.
Well, they gave me the title of brother and a few other different blessings and things like that, but I at that time I did not become a priest. No.
Okay. You know, we're gonna get into some. This has all been important and some other important things, but you know, this is radio and this is a show. You are called in to be the psychic to a lot of famous celebrities.
Yes.
I mean, during the Oscars, you are a busy man.
Well, yes. Usually I go and stay at the Roosevelt, which is across the street from where the Oscars mm-hmm. take place. I get a suite, and usually I'm locked up there for 28 to 48 hours talking to people. And after the Oscars are done, I like to put back a cocktail or two, like anyone.
Well, so are they all asking you, am I going to get the...
Well, it's everything. They want to... The ones who are going to win that I've said... Are you going to win? I said, yes. And you're going to do this and you're going to do that. That's great. I've got the ones who aren't going to win who say, are you sure I'm not going to win? No, and they're just all in this. They're nervous. Mostly what I do during the Oscars is not tell people how they're doing, but I calm them down. There is, one of my abilities is just people feel better when they're around me.
Yeah, I read in one of your bios, it said that people, their life seems to change when they just look in your eyes.
Yeah, I have people who will just want, they just want to be in the same room with me and hang out with me because their energy changes, they feel better when I'm around, and they calm down. And there are a few celebrities who've gone through rehab. And
who was that?
I can't think of anyone in particular.
Yeah, yeah, probably because there have been many, poor thing.
Yes.
But I know you don't share.
Yeah, I never share it. But I will tell you, they more than one that I've sat with at Promises. So, yes.
You're laughing right now, and I have a feeling you've lost your train of thought.
Completely right now.
Because,
let's ask the next question.
Because you went there, and this is interesting. Because I want to share with the audience, before the show started, I was asking John Michael a few questions about the show, saying, can we talk about this? Can we talk about this? And all of a sudden, I saw that he went someplace else. Because for 5 minutes, he wasn't babbling. But he was like trying to tie his tie, and I thought, this is a man who wears a tie to meetings all the time, and he can't tie his tie. And so I stopped talking, and he just stopped, and he turned to me, and I said, you go someplace. And he said, yeah, when I go there, I can't do normal things anymore. So please stop asking me questions, because I have to get this tie on. So that's what seemed like just happened just now.
Well, yeah, I started having visions of certain people who have gone through certain events in their life. Some people I'm still tied to because I've done so many readings for them over the years. But what happens is when I have to do some of the deeper readings, and that's when I'm doing anything from an exorcism or a clearing of a house to some really deep past life information, because I'll do a past life reading, and I've done something very, very deep that I lose myself and my sense of reality in this space and time. Hmm. Can't get behind a car because that's they'll send a limo for me because I start getting ready to get in that place to do the kind of readings I have to do. I'll forget what's left and right. I'll walk into walls. I won't be able to read a word in front of me.
Hmm.
I live in this place. It just starts to go. I phase in and out of where we're at, and as you understand this, and I'm sure most of your listeners do, that time is not linear. You know, we pop in and out of time. It's dimensional. And because of that, I'm putting myself in places at any moment with a client or getting ready for them, knowing what's going on in non-dimensional ways. A lot of times I'll bring my assistant with me to meetings, and she will inevitably, on a rare occasion, if I've gone too deep, I will make her drive us home because I just can't.
You're still there. You're not grounded.
Yeah, and I have to sometimes ground. And I'll ground myself by drinking a whole bunch of coffee. I'll ground myself by eating something like ice cream. Something that'll throw me off the energy path that I'm on. Something that will move that out of place.
I've heard that before from other people. That's really interesting, actually.
You know, going back to what I read about you at the beginning of the show, I've heard about intuitives, and I've heard about medical intuitives, but I've never heard of a physical intuitive, and I'm sure that has to do with business. But before we get into that, the medical intuitive, you're taking that to a whole new level, too. First of all, explain medical intuitive, and then we'll talk about where you've taken that.
Medical intuitive is someone who psychically sees the illnesses in someone else and gives advice on how to do it. Edgar Cayce is a perfect example. He was the sleeping psychic. He would put himself into self-hypnosis. He would then do a reading on someone health-wise. He healed himself. He was famous for that. The first major thing he did was he had lost his voice. And he had a doctor who knew about what he could do. And the doctor said, why don't you do some self-hypnosis and then tell yourself how to fix yourself? Well, he did it, and he spoke perfectly while he was in his own self-hypnosis, how to cure himself, and he was cured within a week.
Interesting.
And he had been sick for almost a year.
So as a medical intuitive, you can look at somebody or feel somebody or something and tell them what's going on in their body without having to do the tests and all that stuff. All right, so the place where you've taken it or life is taking you is that not only doctors come to you, but actual medical organizations want you as part of their boards.
Yes.
Because they're looking for answers for their patients from you.
Yes. I'm not sure if I can bring it up, but the former president of the California Association of Naturopathic Medicine, he asked me to be on the board of directors. Because it's in California and I don't live there, I felt it wasn't my place, but I helped them do whatever they want. They're still asking me to be on their board of directors. And if I ever lived there half the time, I would do it without any problem. I've also been, I work exclusively with doctors. I don't work with patients. That's practicing medicine. I find in my business that medical intuitives like to go to a particular person and say, Filippo, I see blah, blah, blah in this, and this is how you need to fix it. Well, that's practicing medicine. That's against the law, and I don't do that. The doctors hire me. I work with, and now it's quite normal at Cedars-Sinai, at Mayo Clinic, medical centers I've worked at, for the surgeons, the doctors, the researchers to go to a medical intuitive.
Really?
And
I didn't know that.
It's getting very normal.
Wow.
And I feel like a pioneer because I've been one of the people who early did it on 20 years ago. It makes me feel very proud that this is now part of the legacy I'm leaving behind me, is that they'll go to them directly, ask them, what's going on with this patient? You're not asking the patient's not asking the medical intuitive, but the patient's asking the doctor. The doctor's asking the medical intuitive, and that's how it's working. If you ask, anytime you don't have the doctor helping, you're practicing medicine. That's why the gentleman who was the CEO, or the president of the association, asked me. I'd worked with him for years. When he was going to school to be a naturopath, I taught him how to work with medical intuitives in the first place.
And physical intuitive?
Fiscal?
Fiscal.
A fiscal intuitive, I work with businesses. I work with people hire me to make money. I make millionaires into billionaires. I have a friend of mine who's got a fantastic business just starting, and I see what's happening, and I give advice. People hire me to see what they're doing is wrong, and sometimes it is a move of just a hair, and everything changes. It is changing one person's job to another, and it just all of a sudden changes, and they become huge successes.
Now, there are consultants that have to interview everybody in the company and ask them what your job is here and how do you feel about it and all that good stuff, which is very important. And so you're saying you just walk in and talk to one person and that's the person with the problem, or
yeah,
you just...
I actually own a piece of a company that does that consulting work from a spiritual basis.
They really?
Teach the triple bottom line. It's called Namastera.
The triple bottom line?
A people, planet, profit.
Oh, wow.
You think of all three. And they teach that. And the thing is Namastera is a fantastic company. I sit on their board of directors as well because I believe in making the world a better place and helping everybody. And if you help everyone get in a better place, then the world's a better place.
That's kind of what I was talking about at the beginning during my monologue about buying during the holiday season. Because, yes, buying is good for profit, but is it good for people? And is it good for the planet? So looking at all three aspects is really important. So I like that.
So, yes.
And you're a part of that.
And I'm a part of that as well.
But of course. Well, when we come back, we're going to find out other things that you're a part of and how you see this industry shaping as we evolve. So I want to remind everybody that we're talking with celebrity psychic, John Michael Capaldi. And to learn more about him, of course, you can go to our website at lifechanges.ws, but you can also go to johnmichaelcapaldi.com. Now, John is spelled John, and Michael is spelled Michael, and Capaldi is spelled C-A-P-A-L-D-I, a great Jewish name. So
John, and my grandmother's now rolling over in her grave.
Yes. Sorry, Grandma. It's a great Italian name, johnmichaelcapaldi.com. Of course, you can always go to lifechanges.ws not only to find out more about him, but you can hear this interview in its entirety in the archives. Share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, share it with people who know need this. And you can also visit us on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube. We are excited about some of the things that we're doing here at Life Changes. We're actually next week, we'll be doing our very first live event where our guest will actually not only be live like this, which is our very first time, but we will have a live audience. So we're expecting a few hundred people where we'll have a live audience as well to do our very first show that way with our guests. So there's a lot that's happening. So sign up on our website to be on our mailing list for our newsletter and our flyers and our announcements as well. But also, keep the conversation going about what we share during the shows, about who you'd like to see on the show, and your comments as well, because we learn from you as you are hopefully learning from us, and we're growing together. So we're here every Monday night on the VBS Radio Network at 7 p.m. Actually, today it was 8 p.m. because we're in Scottsdale, Arizona during our California Daylight Saving Time, so that almost threw me off for a second. So now back to the show with our guest, John Michael Capaldi, celebrity guest and author, inspirational speaker, intuitive, medical intuitive, and physical intuitive, and you just explained what that is, a tireless philanthropist, which I hope we get to soon, a host of his own former radio show, a guest on many shows, and soon to be host of his own TV show, pitched as The Real Psychics. John Michael, you started to talk about how you work with celebrities. And though I know you don't have time to work with everybody that wants to work with you, when you do have time, you do work with people about things that are important in an everyday situation and not just corporate decisions that affect major companies. So something that I've learned about you distinguishes you from the regular psychics there, too. And I don't know if you have a word for this, like you came up with physical intuitive. But you seem to, ironically, you mentioned naturopathic doctors, which help the body heal itself. You seem to work with people in helping them find their answers. How could you explain that for us better?
Well, I try to work with everyone to live in the here and now. Because to me, when you're working as a psychic and you're telling someone about their future, your future is only as good as you are living here and now.
Hmm.
And no one is teaching that. I've got a friend of mine who I think is just an absolutely amazing young man and a dear, dear man, but he loves to tell people about their future. Well, it's great to know about your future, but the most important thing is to know who you are, where you're coming from, and how you're going to get from here to there.
Mm.
If you don't know where you are now, you're not going to get there. Wow. It doesn't happen at all. Someone said recently, and if you live in the past, you live in the future, you're never happy. But if you live in the here and now, you are. And if you're in a place that you're happy and you're living in your now, you can fix everything after that. You can see the future of the young woman, the young man, the husband, the wife, the business, the schooling, the education, the processing, the promotions, everything you're going to do in the future. You've got to know where you are to get there.
Mm.
There is a movie called Stargate. And I love the movie because in it, he talks about the 6 points to know where you're at. You have to know 6 points in space to know where you're going to go. But you have to know the 7th point, that's where you're at, to get there.
Mm.
If you don't know where you're at, you can't get there. You know, a lot of people want to be doctors. And I have a girlfriend of mine. She is my business partner's wife in one of my businesses that I'm involved with. She's always wanted to be a doctor. She's brilliant, and she would have been a fantastic doctor. And she's not that old. She's only in her 50s. She's, you know, 40-something years old. And she can still go back to school and do that. She's a fantastic person. But you are where you're now. How do you get there from now? I can tell you, you're going to have this future. Great. But how do you get there from here? My trick is telling you from where you are now, fixing what's going on with you now, and then moving forward from there. Too many people will tell you, oh, you're going to have this, you're going to have that. Great. I was recently with my real estate agent. We were looking at a property because we're looking for places to film me in the upcoming TV show I'm going to be in. And I remember a friend of mine who's a psychic said, oh, someday in 2 to 3 years, you're going to live in that particular apartment or condo. And I said, great. Well, how do I get there from here? Was my question in my head to her. And I walked around it, and we looked at the property with, some friends, and it's not going to film well. It's not going to look good. Why would I want to live in a place that's, you know, sure, I could live in it, but why? You know, she didn't talk from the here and now. How do I get here? How do I get there?
Hmm.
If you don't know, you're not going to get there.
You know, the analogy that came to mind while you were saying this is that just this week I got to see my nieces do a swim meet. And so much, their mother is a coach, and she gave so much importance to how they were standing at the starting position. And I not only saw them compete, I saw them win. But the interesting thing is that starting position was so important. It's like you can't win unless you start right, mm-hmm. was what their mother was telling me. So the push-off or whatever that is called, I don't know the exact words. So it's you have to be here first.
Well, it's sort of a state of mind. Whenever you start a project, it's your state of mind where you're going to go from there. And you're quite right. Your sister-in-law was quite right. She had the girls start in a position that said, I'm going to do this from here.
Mm.
It's you're living the here and now. You have a business. You want to get off the ground. You have to do the groundwork. If you don't do the work ahead of time to know where you're at, who's your audience, who you're selling to, you're not going to make it happen.
So when you're working with individuals, as I've come to learn as I get to know you better, is that you ask them, which would drive me crazy if I went to a psychic and played them a lot of money, to have a psychic ask me, what do you think? But I liked what you had to say, that you actually have the client tell you what they want what they're expecting or what they believe.
Yes.
And then you kind of guide them along the way.
Yes, sometimes I tell them they're wrong.
Okay.
But, yeah, I tell them and I show them what they're seeing. Everyone's psychic and everyone knows what they want. The trick I've learned over the years, or the part of the learning process, the learning curve, was everyone has a vision for themselves. That vision is probably the most important thing that we can grasp onto. It's our dream. Mm. We have this dream. That dream is going to take us from point A to point B, point C to point D as it goes along. If I know what your vision, exactly what it is, and you're honest with me, and being a psychic, you can't lie to me while you're telling me this. Well, you can, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to serve our purposes, because once I know what is it you want, I can help you make it happen.
Mm.
And the gift is, well, you've got to go from here and you've got to go here. And while you're going there, you've got to do this. And when you get there, then your next piece is going there.
Mm.
Once you get from each point, each step, it's baby steps, then it moves forward. And then it starts moving exponentially. And by the time you're done, all of a sudden you've got a company you started out with a few dollars and a friend's computer going on LegalZoom trying to get a LLC that now you're going, hold it, I'm buying myself a multimillion-dollar house to go hang out in.
Mm. And one of the things that's a gift, what you're sharing, not only the gift that you have, but the gift that you give to people that come to you for that kind of advice. But another gift that I've been getting from getting to know you is that you believe that we all have the power to find some of these gifts, not at necessarily the level that you are and some other people are, but at least enough to help guide ourselves through our own processes.
Well, why not be as strong as I am? Why not be as powerful as I am? I think anyone can be as powerful as they can be with the gifts they have. Now, you were a singer. You were an opera singer. So was I at one time. I was a tenor. You were a baritone. But we have different gifts, but we were both singers. We both come from Italian families. My family chose not to speak Italian. Yours did.
Mm.
You speak Italian. So we have those similarities but differences. Our gifts are similar, but they're different. Same thing with the psychic realm. Now, I have a lot of different gifts. Psychically, I have a cornucopia of them.
I actually mentioned them. I forgot to mention them about clairvoyance and something about sensuality or something.
Well, I'm clairvoyant, clairaudience, clairsensual. Clairsensual is a kind of empathy. I feel other people's feelings. I feel what's going on for them. I'm telepathic, telekinetic, and a few other little things I can do inside there as well. But those gifts as a whole, I use them for the betterment of my clientele. I do healing work, etc., those things. And you know about the physical and the medical intuitive work. Along with that, someone will come to me who has a gift that I may not have. There are people who can hold objects in their hands. And I can do a little bit of it, but they can tell you everything about the person who's owned that object.
Mm.
Now, the name totally just went out of my head as I started talking about it because I was about to use it. And oh, well. The point is I can help someone learn how to use that gift. I can help someone learn how to read tarot cards that can help open up their ability to be clairvoyant. I can teach someone how to read or listen to the sounds of the wind and listen to voices. I can tell people what's being said. I can show them and they'll learn it. But it's the process of learning. And anyone can learn their gifts.
What would you say is the first key to learning the gifts that we each have?
Thing my mom taught me. Be open and not afraid of them.
Hmm.
Be completely open to all your gifts. They're your gifts. And my mother taught them to me. They are gifts God gave me. Now, whoever you feel God is, it doesn't matter to me. It's all good. And
the moment, it's all good, it's all God.
It's all good, it's all God, you know. I think that it's all beautiful, you know, as long as it's all just being trying to be a part of something greater than you are. And we're all actually a part of each other anyway, so it's all beautiful.
So not being afraid of the gifts.
Not being afraid of the gifts at all.
Okay.
Not being afraid of what you're seeing. Too many people will come to me as, when I was a kid, I saw ghosts that scared the bejeebies out of me. Well, they didn't use that word, but I figured it's better for radio and TV. But they would honestly...
What would they say, fuck?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just curious.
And they, honest to God's truth, I would sit here and they'll tell me, I saw this, it scared the fuck out of me. It scared the shit out of me. And I don't know what, like, listen, don't let it scare you. It's part of who you are. It can't harm you. It's just informing you.
Mm.
I had a bad dream. Well, tell me about your dream. And we'll interpret it. We interpret the dream. We find out that bad dream was all about the fact that you're going to meet the love of your life. Or guess what? You're about to make a fortune.
Hmm. Interesting. So besides individually, each of us connecting more and more with these gifts, which a lot of people are saying that this is going to happen because of frequencies on the planet or the planet is spinning faster, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see the industry going? Oh, okay, that sounds like a whole other show. Told me that there's something going on there. We could talk about that, but we only have a couple minutes, and I wanted to ask you, where do you see the industry going as a psychic who's leading the way in some of these areas?
Well, in my opinion, there's always going to be a place for the psychics that like to be gypsies.
Okay.
And let's be honest, I love Cher too, and Gypsy, Tramps, and Thieves are one of my favorite songs. But we have professionals that are psychics. They're going to be walking to the boardrooms. They're going to be in the hospitals. You've got half your nursing staff now in on the more vital wards are learning Reiki.
Yeah.
To heal people. They're learning Reiki. They're learning energy work.
Mm.
This is becoming the norm. You've got people who are sitting on boards of directors like myself who are psychics. You're going to have people who are going to be working, well, who didn't see or everyone heard about men who stare at goats. Remember that movie with George Clooney? It was about how the entire military establishment is teaching, working with psychics to find people and where they're lost. That's how they found Saddam Hussein.
Hmm.
I mean, we're using it. It's just becoming out in the open.
Hmm.
And this last political season was just a blast for me.
We won't go there. We know you're involved in that. And actually, we just have 2 minutes. But you not only use your gifts, but with the money you make and with the little time that you have, somehow you find time to give energy and time to a lot of philanthropic organizations like the opera or women's breast cancer.
Well, there's something called Hope for Friends, and Hope for Friends actually provides money and support for women in their day-to-day life. They need their son to get a ride to go to school, and they've just had breast cancer surgery. They don't have any friends to do it. No one can handle it. We make sure that there's someone who can take care of it, or their bills are paid, or they make that. I also like to work with the arts. I sit on the board of directors of the Arts and Business Council, and we make other nonprofits possible. We support nonprofits in learning how to stay creative and make money and stay in business.
Mm.
That's why I chose that nonprofit. I don't have to just help the opera. I can help the symphony, the ballet, the opera, children's youth theater. I get to help everybody. I get to help the artists. I help anyone and everywhere who needs help when it comes to the arts. And the arts feed our soul, not just our mouth. And I think there's never enough people who can feed people, but the soul has to be fed too.
Wow.
And we live for art. Art doesn't live for us.
Wow. Well, your life is an art, and you're involved in so many things. And this is I know you also own a bar.
Yeah.
And we were there just the other day, and you were serving One Hope wine, which gives 50% of the proceeds to other organizations that help women and children, all that stuff as well. So everywhere, it seems like everything you touch is about helping people. And
what else is there in this world? If you can't help other people, you can't cause change for the world, then why are we here?
Well, I know why I was here, and I'm here because we're having this great interview and we're sharing this great information with a lot of people. And I know that our producer, Mark Lejeune, is here as well, joining us from California. And I believe he had a question for you or a comment, Mark?
Yeah, hi. Hi, thank you, Filippo. Hi, Jean-Michel. Hello. Great show today. Great information. You have such a wonderful perspective on the world and on business. I have a business background as well at an executive level. I've been CEO in the both private and public sectors, on the board of numerous companies, both startup and or existing. And my curiosity is the evolution of the acceptance of someone as yourself. I've been a fan and have actually suggested in years past having psychics on our boards and have been shut down. And I've always been open to it because I've witnessed and seen what's possible. I think about what is possible, but I'm also very interested in the ability to have someone that isn't so close, be it emotionally or with their own desires, to the existing situation that can give kind of that third eye perspective. My question is, and you touched on it a little bit here in these last a couple of minutes of the interview, but are you seeing this evolve and becoming more of an open standard? Is there still some pushback or is it embraced more readily now?
I will tell you that I was recently with a lot of political people who also at one time very pushback, and conservative political people who think nothing of having a psychic in the room. I was recently with a very famous chairman of the board about 2 months ago, and he runs a very – you'd know him. Everyone in this room would know him, and anyone who's listening would know who he is. And he thinks it is the best thing since sliced bread and would love to see more psychics on his board of directors as well. It is becoming a part of the norm. It is going to be normal for us to be a part of everything. I see the day that we'll have full-time psychics on the police force. I see a time that we'll have full-time psychics working in hospitals, medical intuitives, each hospital having their own. I can see that easily without a problem. I see that we're there to help. If we're coming from the right place, and this show is about people who come from the right place, we can cause change in the best possible way for everyone and everywhere in this world.
That's fabulous. And again, what a great perspective. If I can, let me ask you one more question, because that brings to mind actually a bit of a juxtaposition. I'm curious how you view, given the fact that you work in all of these different aspects, in a multidisciplinary way, do you see the opportunity or do you see the result of your work touch people to the extent that you're able to affect change as a result of your heart connection with them, or is it the ability to get past their mental thought process and free their own thinking and their own self-connection, almost unveiling the psychic in themselves? Where do you think the real connection is?
I think it's at many levels. It takes an intellectual connection to get in the door. You have to actually know what you're talking about. The next part is their soul is hungry for something more than just your normal, you know, someone telling what to do. The people who are reaching out to me, their heart is dry. Their heart is suffering. They're looking for something more than what they've already got. And what they're really looking for is what's missing. And sometimes what's missing with them is their own psychic ability. Is they're trusting their own intuition. I cannot tell you how many people who are chairmen, presidents of companies, who are so psychic because they actually know how to run a company. And they're doing it intuitively. and I give them permission to come from that place, and all of a sudden, you're watching a person who was angry at themselves become happy and change their perspective and become something more than they already are. And they're experiencing their business from a more spiritual place. I watched a politician about 2 years ago who did the same thing. And I know people like to quantify a conservative to a liberal having different ideas, but honest to God's truth, this was a person who didn't change their view, but changed their attitude about and their openness to a different mindset.
Hmm.
And it was a beautiful thing to see within a more conservative idea. When you consider that the biggest presidential people we ever had, I love this, to the our past presidents who are most known for using psychics, and that would be Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy, and the very who is a Republican, and the very first Republican president who happened to be Lincoln, who's known to be a psychic. And people don't put those things together. I always find that very fascinating. Well, of course, and you know that FDR loved was a huge fan of Edgar Cayce. So this is going to be, yes, very much so. We are able to create change in these people's lives and open up their hearts, their souls to what it is to be fully human. And that's what it is to use our gifts. We are less than ourselves when we're afraid of our gifts.
Mm.
When anyone's afraid of any of your gifts, any gift, and that means if you can sing and don't sing, if that means if you're a dancer and can't dance, if that means you're able to run a company and don't do it, if that means you're a person who has personal power and not using it, that is such an offense to the universe. I'm sorry to take up so much time. I'm going to get on my high horse here, but anyone who uses their gifts makes the world a better place. They enrich the whole world.
You know, that's interesting because I was reading earlier that you invite people to live their lives to their fullest as you do. And so here you are, you're closing the show with inviting our audience to live their life to the fullest. Thank you so much, John Michael Capaldi. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Mark, isn't this great? You know that I've argued for not having psychics on the show since we started almost 2 years ago. And here we had one.
Well, and I think it was a wise decision because John Michael has such a unique perspective. And yes, there are many psychics that work to some extent with business leaders and whatnot. But he seems to have a very real world view, and that self-empowerment, that individual empowerment perspective is so valuable in benefiting from those gifts and that insight.
Yeah, I liked it very much. And to me, what's important is that at Life Changes, we are presenting some ideas that maybe have been out there for a long time, but we're bringing them out in a different way. And certainly psychics have obviously been here maybe even since the beginning of time. Or maybe we were all psychic at the beginning of time. Maybe we've lost connection with that. But to bring it in this way was really special for me, and I'm very glad that we did.
I'm in total agreement. Again, I applaud that you did. And I'll just touch on that one point, which is that we all are psychic, and that's a belief I have, except some people have a better ability, just like some people can sing a little bit better than others, right? I think this is one of the areas that we are starting to learn, and that he touched on, which is our own connection, you know, that coincidental, I can't believe you called because I was just thinking about you, connection that we have to the universe.
Right.
It's a matter of tuning that in.
Right. And I'm glad you said that because a lot of people say to me and to you too, being a singer, you know, well, I sing, but I don't sing like you. And I say, sing anyway. You don't have to sing like me or anybody else. You just have to sing like you. And maybe you won't win American Idol and maybe you won't be on a stage somewhere. But if you feel the need and if it's in you, do it. And so I'm glad we brought that out today.
Indeed.
This has been exciting. And this has been another episode of Life Changes with Filippo. I am so happy that we had John Michael Capaldi as our guest. And next week we have Coyote the Blind, who will be doing a telling, which is, in a sense, an intuitive storytelling. And that's going to be live.
stay tuned to our website at lifechanges.ws to learn more about that if you are local to Los Angeles and can come out and visit us. Remember, you can keep the conversation going on our website and on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, where we love to hear from you and we love your input. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo today. I, along with our segment hosts and producers, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark M. Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendricks, thank you for joining us and being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at www.lifechanges.ws. Also, you can follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, Life Changes.